All right. Okay, folks, we're gonna go on the record here. Call the proceeding to order. My name is Pat Ward. I'm an administrative law judge. Been assigned pursuant to temporary appointment by the Office of Administrative Hearings at the request of the Public Service Commission to serve as procedural hearing officer for this hearing. This is a hearing on the application of Tesoro High Plains Pipeline Company regarding a 12-inch crude oil pipeline in McKenzie County for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and waiver of procedures to authorize construction of a 1.4-mile length of 12-inch diameter crude oil pipeline to transport crude oil in McKenzie County. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-15-720. The record will show it is a little past 11:40 a.m., February 11th, 2016. We're at Teddy's Residential Suites in Watford City, North Dakota, which is the time, date, and place set by the notice of filing and notice of hearing issued by North Dakota Public Service Commission on December 16, 2015. On November 5, 2015, Tesoro filed its application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and for a waiver of procedures and time schedules for the pipeline. The application and request are set forth in the notice of filing and notice of hearing, and the proposed location is shown by the map, which is part of the notice. I did have some questions about this before we started today, and just so you know, the Public Service Commission does maintain an excellent website, and you can do a case search on the website, so if at any time you wanted to look at what's going on as far as when there's hearings or when, or like what these applications contain, you can go to that website under case search. Just Google North Dakota PSC, it'll pop up, go to case search. And then if you know the hearing, the case number, you can go directly to that case. You can also look at their calendar to see when hearings are going to take place and when they work on, you know, they do their work sessions and make decisions and issue. That's all on there. It's very user-friendly. I personally use it all the time when I need to find things on there. So it's very helpful. Also, just mention that if anybody wants to testify today or, you know, make a comment on the record, you're free to do that. We'll do that after the company's presentation and after the Public Service Commission's presentation. If you have any questions about exhibits or something you might want to present, you can talk to me if we take a break or if we go straight through. You can just kind of indicate that when you get up there to testify. The issues to be considered today on the application for waiver of procedures and time schedules is, number one, are the proposed facilities of such length, design, location, or purpose that they will produce minimal adverse effects and that adherence to applicable procedures and time schedules may be waived? And two, is it appropriate for the commission to waive any procedures and time schedules as requested in the application? The issues with regard to the certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit are, one, will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Two, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And three, will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? Ms. Krause, would you please state your appearance for the record?
Thank you, Your Honor. Danny Krause with Fredrickson and Byron, appearing on behalf of the applicant, Tesoro High Plains Pipeline Company, LLC.
Thank you. Mr. Hsu, would you state your appearance and the appearance of any staff that will be participating today?
John Hsu on behalf of the commission, along with me today is utility analyst Julie Prescott.
And will Ms. Prescott be asking questions today?
Yes, Your Honor.
Anyone want to make a motion on that?
And Your Honor.
Do you have any objection to Ms. Prescott asking questions?
No objection, Your Honor.
Okay. Ms. Prescott will be allowed to ask questions. Thank you. Like I said briefly, if there's anyone present other than witnesses for Tesoro, is there anyone here today who thinks they might want to testify? If you could just raise your hand, or if at some point, just let me know. I want to make sure I'm going to give you more than one chance to do that. And I want to make sure that that's why we come out here, is for public input. So if you have something you want to say, it will get back to the commission. There is a record being made today. This is being recorded. and the commission will have access to everything that's on the record. Ms. Krause, is there some exhibits you'd like to mark in advance, maybe offer in advance?
Yes, Your Honor. I briefly discussed six exhibits with Mr. Hsu, and it's my understanding that there's no objection to those, and I would offer those be admitted at this time.
Okay. Mr. Hsu?
Yes, sir. We have no objection to it.
Okay. Exhibits 1 through 6 will be admitted. Now, Ms. Krause, any opening statement or comments?
Just briefly, Your Honor, Tesoro intends to call two witnesses with respect to this case today. The first witness will be Aaron Smith, Tesoro Logistics, appearing on behalf of Tesoro High Plains Pipeline. And Mr. Smith will just briefly discuss the project overview generally, such as the purpose and the need and factors that played a role in selection of the corridor and the route. Mr. Smith will also discuss the project design, construction, operation, and maintenance, and the project benefits. And the second witness will be Divyang Sarati with Wood Group Mustang, Inc. And Mr. Sarati will discuss the compliance with the siting criteria and also discuss details regarding the environmental studies that were conducted with respect to the proposed project.
Thank you. Mr. Hsu, any opening remarks?
No, Your Honor, I waive the opening.
Okay. Ms. Krause, you can call your first witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. Tesoro would call Aaron Smith.
Welcome, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
I'd like you to, before I swear you in, I'd like you to spell your first name for me.
Aaron Smith, A-A-R-O-N.
Okay, and Smith, S-M-I-T-H?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Smith, I'm required by law to advise you of the penalty for perjury in North Dakota. Oh, hold on. A perjury is a false statement under oath of a material fact made by a person who knows or does not believe the statement to be true at the time it is made. Perjury is a Class C felony. A Class C felony is subject to a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison, a fine of $10,000, or both may be imposed. Having been advised of this penalty, please raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this matter?
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Krause.
Thank you, Your Honor. Could you please state your full name for the record?
Aaron Smith.
And by whom are you employed?
Tesoro Logistics.
What is your business address?
I work at 4207 Boulder Ridge Drive in Bismarck, North Dakota at 58503.
And Aaron, could you just briefly discuss your education and work history?
I spent 9 years in the Navy in an aircraft carrier and got a degree from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in nuclear engineering and engineering physics, and spent the next 10 years after that, a little over 10 years in the oil industry as a project manager.
And what is your position with Tesoro and with respect to the project?
I'm a project manager, so I am responsible for adherence to schedule and budget, but most importantly, safety and adherence to all the local and regulations and guidelines and standards.
Did you have any additional duties with respect to the project?
No.
Now, I just want to briefly discuss generally Tesoro and the project. Who will actually own and operate the project?
Tesoro Logistics.
Okay. Tesoro Logistics or Tesoro High Plains Pipeline Company?
Tesoro Logistics as a company. The High Plains Pipeline Company is the division in North Dakota that operates the assets.
Okay. And could you describe Tesoro's experience in the pipeline industry?
So Tesoro owns and operates 233 miles of pipeline, ranging from Stampede and up in north side of North Dakota through Tioga under the lake down through we have several assets here near Watford City down near Dickinson as far west as Sydney in Montana and then it has a line that goes down to the Mandan refinery in Bismarck.
Okay. Now, if I could have you just reference exhibit 1, which is the large binder there in front of you. Do you recognize this exhibit?
I do.
And is it a copy of Tesoro's combined certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit application filed for this project?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and if I could have you turn to Appendix A3 in Exhibit 1. Do you recognize these maps contained in the appendix?
I do.
And do they accurately depict the route and corridor requested for the project?
Yes, they do.
Okay, and could you just provide a general description of the project you're requesting approval from the PSE?
The general description is its purpose is to receive oil from Targa Resources from their facilities out in the field, and to meter oil and transfer custody into to Sorrel Logistics assets, and to transfer that via pipeline into our existing pipeline system, which would go down to our Keene facility and then distribute there.
Okay. And could you just describe some of the specifics of the project, such as the length, diameter, things like that?
Sure. We have about 1.4 miles that we have laid out for to make this connection. The origination for the project from Tesoro would be at the facility that is shared with Targa Resources. So the oil that would come in from them would go through a series of valves into a custody transfer meter inside of a building, and that is temperature controlled and regulated and monitored for LELs and hazardous and spill response. And then from there, we have a tool launcher that the oil would go through so that we can use that for inspection and tool services. And at that point, it would enter into our pipeline, and the pipeline would then go into our existing north-south segment. The pipeline that we're proposing is a 12-inch pipe, 375 wall, and we would generally have 4 to 5 feet on depth of cover, depending on if it's a plowable land. We try to get a little extra depth to help facilitate those areas.
Okay, and what is the estimated cost for the project?
All right, about $8.9 million.
And when putting together this application, what factors did Tesoro take into consideration when selecting the route?
It was the most direct route. And the most direct route would have the least amount of impact on environmental areas, on landowner areas. And it would also be the easiest to identify and mark for identifying the line location.
Okay, and with respect to landowners, what is the status of the right-of-way or easement acquisition for the project?
They are complete.
So 100% of easements have been obtained?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And I know you briefly discussed some of the specifics of the project, but could you give some additional details regarding the diameter and operating parameters of the pipeline?
Sure. Again, a 12-inch pipeline, it will have a 600-pound flange system, which means it's rated up to 1440 pounds. However, our operating conditions set a maximum operating pressure of 720 pounds. That's so that it coincides with our existing system and also provides a degree of safety on top of the integrity of the system. The oil coming in from Targa will go through roughly five and a half miles of fields and underground. So by the time it gets to us, we expect that to be 50 to 60 degrees. And originally it's going to start out between 150 and 200 pounds. And the capacity is going to start out between 10,000 and 20,000 barrels a day of throughput and can go up as high as 75,000 barrels a day.
Okay. And could you describe the right-of-way that will be utilized for the project?
The construction right-of-way will be about 100 foot, 50 feet on, or 40 feet on the north side, 60 feet on the south side, but we'll have a 50-foot permanent right-of-way.
Okay, and will any roads be constructed as part of the project?
No.
And I know you briefly discussed some of the different aspects, but could you just again discuss what surface facilities the project will include?
The surface facility will be a facility within the Targa Resources facility that they have acquired that they call the Antelope site. It'll be roughly 120 by 140 foot area that we will have fenced in and segregated between Targa and Tesoro. And that will house the meter, the flow control valves, the tool launcher and receiver, as well as the transformer to provide power to the site.
And what is the anticipated schedule for construction of the project?
We would like to mobilize on the beginning of April to start working on the right-of-way and grading the site, and with the anticipated commissioning date in late July, possibly the beginning of August, depending on how the schedule goes.
And could you discuss the personnel that will be involved in construction of the project?
Absolutely. The structure will be that as a project manager, I'll have ultimate responsibility for all labor and contract and resources on the site. I have safety managers and I have construction managers and inspectors to help to monitor and the safety and the progress of the job. And then as far as additional resources and equipment, we'll have 50 to 60 contract employees working on the pipeline. And potentially another 20 to 30 within the facility itself.
Okay, and what is the status of contractor selection at this point?
We have not selected a contractor at this point. We are finishing up detailed engineering so that we can go out for bid at the beginning of March.
Okay, and I want to now kind of switch gears and talk about operation and maintenance of the project. So once the project is approved by the PSC, what steps would Tesoro take to ensure the project is operating properly?
Tesoro Logistics is they maintain and operate their own pipelines, and so they have a very rigorous maintenance plan and program already in place for preventative maintenance as well as corrective. And are hiring more and more expert maintenance personnel continuously, it seems. As far as operations, this is within an operating area that will be continuously monitored by people on site, based out of our Watford City office. And as well as that, is we will have pressure and temperature and flow indication, as well as valve position indication and pump status indication that will be visible to our control center in San Antonio. And that will be monitored at all times.
Okay, so you mentioned the control center in San Antonio, but could you provide some more details regarding how that control center is operated?
Absolutely. The control center in San Antonio monitors all of Tesoro Logistics assets, and so that's in that's our West Coast assets from Los Angeles area all the way up to Alaska. That's our Northwest pipelines with from Salt Lake City up into Washington, as well as the Northern Great Plains, which is the Bakken area that we discussed earlier in North Dakota. Each one of those regions has a separate panel, separate board with 8 to 10 screens. And an operator, a control center operator that is continuously monitoring those regions that they are assigned to, that room is staffed 24/7, right? So around the clock, all week long, every day of the year, and they are able to respond immediately with remote access to any response emergency situations, as well as normal operating parameters, maintaining tank levels and pump statuses.
Okay, so this project would be incorporated into the Northern Great Plains system?
Yes, it would.
Okay. Now, you talked about some of the oversight as far as the control center, but what additional procedures will be implemented to protect the pipe from damage?
First of all, the depth of cover to ensure that it's away from any potential digs. We are part of the one call system, so the pipeline will be marked, and any one calls that come out, our operators are immediately notified to go out and to mark the pipeline, so for identification. We will have cathodic protection to cathodically protect the pipeline, as well as leak detection meters that will be installed on both ends, on the receiving and delivery ends of this pipeline.
Okay, and what types of inspections will be performed for the project?
We have ILI runs that we will do to go and to get a baseline status of the pipeline prior to commissioning, and about every 5 years afterwards, we will do another run more frequently, especially as needed if we see that there's an area of concern.
So essentially, Tesoro will comply with all DOT inspection regulations and potentially could implement others if the need arises.
Absolutely, yes.
And what steps will Tesoro take to be prepared for any emergency situation if it should arise?
Tesoro operations has gone through great efforts to train. For emergency situations, spills and fires, and so they are immediately trained as far as emergency response. They are HAZWOPR trained, and then can call upon additional resources as the situation would require.
Okay, and you talked about some Tesoro employees being located in Watford City. Will there also be some spill response equipment there as well?
Yes. They do have spill response trailers that are fully equipped to handle up to large spills but as part of their response, they have not been shy about asking for additional help in anything that they feel like they can't handle and control immediately, and their response for environmental purposes is immediate as required.
So obviously we're here today to request a quarter certificate and route permit from the PSC, but are there other permits that were required for the project?
Yes, there's a driveway permit to access the where we tie into our existing pipeline, which has been approved, as well as we're looking to bore underneath the 1806, and that permit has been received and approved.
Okay. And was a conditional use permit from McKenzie County Commission required for the project?
No, it was not.
Okay. And I'll have you look at Exhibit 2 in the small exhibit packet, if you would, please. And is this an email from McKenzie County Planning and Zoning stating that a conditional use permit was not required for the project from the commission?
Yes, it is.
And it's my understanding that, based on that email, instead of McKenzie County approval, Hawkeye Township needed to issue approval for the project. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. And if I could have you turn to Exhibit 3. Does this document reflect the approval received by Hawkeye Township for the project?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And will any additional permits be obtained in accordance with the requirements of the commission if they would be required?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And I will now have you look at Exhibit 4, please. And do you recognize that document?
I do.
Is Exhibit 4 a copy of the certification relating to order provisions that was sent to Tesoro by the commission and executed by Tesoro?
Yes, it is.
And who signed the certification?
James Sanford.
Does Mr. Sanford have the authority to bind Tesoro with respect to these provisions?
Yes, he does.
And last, Aaron, I just want to have you just briefly discuss some of the benefits of this proposed project.
There are a number of benefits. In that we are able to take the oil that is received from Targa Resources from their oil fields, and to the biggest benefit I see is to put this oil into a pipeline, which minimally impacts the environment around it, as well as removes trucks off of the road, and allows to do this in a safe manner.
Okay. Yeah. I have no further questions for this witness, Your Honor.
Mr. Shue, any questions for Mr. Smith?
Yes, Ronnie, you're talking about the local permits. Have all the local permits that you're aware of been obtained?
That I'm aware of, yes.
Aware of? Okay.
Yes.
For your contractors and Tesoro personnel, what type of environmental training will the company be providing?
I don't know what you're asking for as far as environmental training.
It said in the application that all contractors and Tesoro personnel will receive some sort of training for spill response and also identifying any type of events that may occur. I was wondering what this training entails.
So, as far as the construction of the project goes, we're going to make sure that we stay within our corridor, and I'm very concerned as the owner of this and the to Tesoro Logistics to make sure that as we restore this, that it's restored in a way that is as good or better than how we found it. I would like to be able to make sure we work with the landowners as much as possible to achieve this. So we're going to maintain within our corridor to begin with. But then as far as the training with our operations folks go, when we commission this project, they are holding annual training, and they have training coming up, I believe, in June, in which local emergency response teams have been invited. But the operators right on hand are trained in HAZWOPR training and emergency response, and so they have on-scene commanders for a local and a small response. If it needs to be a larger response, we have a control center in Dickinson as our major hub, and as well as, if needed, a response in San Antonio for our commands. Our command leader, our on-scene commander would be local, and our command leader would be in San Antonio if it's necessary. And then on top of that, we train annually and as needed, sometimes more frequently, on making sure that the environment is monitored for gashes and leaks, and making sure that anything that is done, whether for routine maintenance or otherwise, is done in a controlled manner, so that there are no volatile organic compounds that are released or unrecognized spills, even if it's the size of a teacup.
So are all employees, do they have to receive this training before they actually start working on site?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Now, you said with regard to your spill response plan and response that there are additional resources that could be called upon. Were you referring to you said you had a Dickinson office, so with a...
There's a Dickinson office, and then... I'm sorry, we discussed an email about local response. That would be the one. Thank you. So I was referring to an email that was sent to Ms. Carolyn. I don't know how to say her last name. Jop?
I'm not sure if she's pronounced it.
Joppy?
Jop.
Could you spell it? Right.
Jappe. But as a member of the McKenzie County, she has been invited to the next emergency spill response being held in Watford City in June of 2016.
Can I turn your attention to the Appendix A3, that map we were looking at earlier?
Yes, sir.
It's actually a pretty good way of visualizing it. Are there a number of waterways and wetlands that were crossed, at least in the proposed project? And did the company decide to cross these waterways and wetlands only because it was a direct route, or are there integrity reasons or anything like with that regard with the pipeline?
We looked at the crossing, and we walked the crossing, and this was in our opinion not a very large crossing, and so We don't want to go and disturb the crossing, and so it is our effort to go and bore this crossing, and it was something that was going to be able to be done with little impact to the crossing itself. If there was any damage done to that, then we're very happy to restore that to the best of our ability.
Okay. So there wasn't a reasonable alternative to crossing that area?
No.
Okay, and it wasn't just purely economic reasons?
No, one of our routes we looked at going south was not viable in that there was a number of additional crossings and that were going to be more complex, and so this path had the least impact, not just with the waterways, but additional crossings and least impact on the landowners.
Okay. With regards to exclusion and avoidance areas, would that be better suited for the next witness?
It would, Your Honor.
Okay. And did you say you were going to bore underneath those wetlands, or were you planning on doing some other technique?
No, we will bore.
Okay. No other questions, Your Honor.
Do you have any redirect, Ms. Crowley?
Not at this time, Your Honor.
I have just a couple questions, and I guess I'll start right there with the boring question. When you look at the map, it looks like the water body we're talking about is called Sand Creek. And on the map, there's several blue lines. Is that like various streams that flow out of that creek, or what are those blue lines? Do you see?
Yeah, I see what you're talking. Walking that line is the creek is not as big as it looks in this map. It does have some water flow, I believe, in the springtime as the snow runs off. But the area, I believe, the area around that is the blue lines are just representing the wetland area in that.
Okay. Do you, when you bore there, what is the length of the bore? How much do you plan to actually bore?
Right. We're not going to start and end right at the boundaries. We will be out 50 feet on either side. So. If that wetland area in that segment is 100 feet, we'd be out 200 feet for the bore.
Okay, and that is already in your engineering design specifications?
Yes, it is.
Okay. A couple of other questions I have, some may be better directed at your environmental witness, but when you talked about the emergency response teams, you talked about coordination with local authorities, and you indicated that would be in June. Have you had any meetings yet in advance of the project with local authorities?
I have not. In representing the project, no, I have not.
Okay. I think you indicated you'd like to start this project in April as far as digging the project. When do you expect it to be operational if you're able to get started in April?
We would like to be operational at the end of July, maybe the beginning of August. However, that is still in advance of when Targa Resources will actually be available to flow oil to us.
So when do you have a target date for oil flowing through the line?
We're being told at the end of September right now.
Okay, all right. But, so it's well after the June meeting on the environment with the emergency response people.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. When I looked at the application, I saw that there were three occupied structures within 500 feet, and I know you said you had all your easements. Were those occupied structures houses, or do you know?
So the one in particular on the west side is a house that is abandoned and owned by Mr. Wisness. But that is not a living structure in which he works or stores equipment in. That is an old legacy structure for him.
All right.
The other facilities that are over on the east side, those are facilities that we have. That's why we went up as far north as we did, trying to get up over onto the north side and make sure that we maintained our distance away from the right-of-way on the road.
So you do have, to the extent there are structures identified as occupied structures, you have waivers that clearly those people understand they're within that 500-foot distance?
Yes.
Your Honor, before he answers, that question is more appropriately directed to our environmental witness.
Okay.
And he will discuss the exclusion and avoidance areas in detail because there are no structures within 500 feet that required waivers.
All right. Okay. Sounds good. What about topsoil preservation? Is that also a better question for your environmental person, or
I'm comfortable addressing what our plan is. We do plan on pulling the topsoil off to the north side. That's why we have 40 feet on the north side of our proposed pipeline. that we will use for construction, and the topsoil will go over onto that side. The south, and then all the soil that we dig up for the trench, and we will trench where we can, and if there's any concern, we will bore and without a hesitation. But that soil will be stored on the south side, and then when we restore, we'll put the soil back into the trench, and the topsoil will come back. And then upon completion of the topsoil, just because we pull the topsoil doesn't mean we're done. I want to make sure that our landowners are happy that we don't have any holes, sinkholes that have developed as a result. And then we'll make sure that we plant and seed as required in communication with the landowners and McKenzie County.
All right. Very good. I think that's all I have. You're welcome to follow up on any of that.
I think I'm fine for now, Your Honor. We can address some of the clarification areas with our other witness, or I'll recall Mr. Smith.
Okay. Mr. Hsu, anything else?
Your Honor, I'd just like to leave the opening for Julie Prescott to ask some questions.
Well. Yes, Ms. Prescott, I'm sorry.
Yes, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
Could you clarify again for me what the origin point of this is? It's a shared Targa facility. What is that exactly?
It is a shared Targa Tesoro Resort facility. The facility is owned by Targa Resources, and they have allowed us a 120 by 140 section within their facility.
And what exactly is the facility?
Their facility is, I don't know what their future plans are right now. Mm-hmm. The overall plan is that their gathering lines will be directed into this facility. We'll go through a flow control valve so that we can maintain proving ability. And then they will also put on four 400-barrel tanks as divert tanks so that if there's any problem with water, bottoms, and sediments, that it will be diverted to those tanks. But as far as the overall process, I'm not sure what they have planned.
Okay. And will the project be designed, constructed, and operated and maintain per 49 CFR Part 195 DOT regulations for hazardous liquids?
Yes, it will.
Okay. And I didn't catch, what was the cost, current estimated cost?
8.9.
Okay. Will the project have the ability to be shut down remotely?
Yes.
All the valves are remote?
The San Antonio Control Center will have visibility of the status of the valves and an ability to operate those valves from San Antonio as well as locally when required.
And just so that I'm clear, the wetlands and water bodies map that we, Attorney Hsu talked about, I think it's appendix A3. There's three wetland water body crossings. So it's my understanding that the highway will be bored first, right? The Sand Creek crossing will be bored as well.
Yes.
The tributary will not be. Will that be open cut? Yeah, that would be TAK-002, what I'm looking at here.
I see.
Is that the one you were testifying that it was kind of ephemeral?
Right. I don't know what the answer is on that. If we need to bore, we absolutely will bore. Something like that, I think we'll look at to see if we can open trench without causing any hazard to the water flow or to the environment around it.
Okay. Then the feature identified as TAK-001, that's a wetland. I can't really tell if the route crosses that or not. Is that going to be a bored crossing or not?
Again, we'll look at that. That road will be bored across the 40th.
Okay.
And so where we come up, it might be just as easy for us to come up a little bit past that as identified as TAK-001.
Okay.
But again, we'll have to look at that when we do a more detailed construction review.
To be determined.
Yes.
Okay, no other questions, Your Honor.
Okay, Ms. Krause, anything?
Nothing, Your Honor.
Mr. Hsu? Okay, Mr. Smith, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You can step down. Next witness.
Tesoro would call Divyang Sarati.
Mr. Sarati, I'm going to have to ask you to spell both your names for me.
My first name is Divyang, spelled D-I-V-Y-A-N-G. Last name is Sarati, S-U-R-A-T-I.
Okay, thank you. You were here when I gave the perjury admonition to Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Would you raise your right hand, please? You promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Krause.
Thank you, Your Honor. Could you please state your full name for the record?
Yeah, my full name is Devyang, last name is Sorali.
And by whom are you employed?
Wood Group Mustang Corporation.
What is your business address?
17325 Park Road, Houston, Texas.
And what is your position with Wood Group Mustang?
I work as senior environmental permitting specialist.
And could you briefly discuss your education and work history?
Yes, actually, I did my bachelor's in civil engineering from India, and did my master's in environmental engineering from Cleveland State University, Ohio. And I've been working in environmental permitting area since 8 years, and which includes 4 years in oil and gas industries.
Okay. And were you involved in the preparation of the application for the project?
Yes.
And what was your role with respect to the project?
For particularly this project, I was the environmental project manager.
Okay. And what were your duties as far as that role?
Primarily my duties to prepare the permit application documents and oversee the subcontractor work and manage the subcontractor, basically.
And could you provide a general description of the project site environment?
Sure. Well, the project, as Mr. Ann stated, it's 1.4-mile 12-inch pipeline, and it's located in McKenzie County. And the project is primarily on rural agriculture land, and it's basically cultivated crop land cover designation, and there are certain paved road and unpaved road, and also well pad due to the oil and gas extraction and transmission activities.
Okay. And could you discuss the approach taken to perform an environmental analysis for the site?
Yes, the studies were performed by Tesoro through their subcontractor, which include Wood Group Mustang and the field study subcontractor. So the study was conducted in two stages. The first is the subcontractor looked at the 1 mile corridor along the pipeline, so half a mile on each side. And they did the desktop review, which is basically using the GIS tool and publicly available data. And after that study, they decided to go with the 400-foot survey corridor, which they actually did the field survey on.
Okay, and the 400-foot wide field survey corridor is the corridor being requested from the commission, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And we briefly already discussed Appendix A3 in the application, but I'll just have you turn to those maps again.
Yes.
And do those accurately depict the survey corridors that were utilized here?
Yes.
Okay. And were these maps prepared under your supervision and control?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you talked about some of the different studies that were performed, but I want to discuss in a little more detail.
Okay.
Could you first discuss the cultural studies that were conducted for the project and the results of those studies?
Sure. The company called Apex and Metcalf Archaeological Incorporation, I believe. Those are subcontractors through Wood Group Mustang, and they performed the field study on cultural resources. Their approach was Class 1 study and Class 3 study for this particular project. And during the Class 1 study, they found approximately, I believe, 22 sites within 1 mile corridor, which are archaeological and cultural resource issues. And then they went for Class 3 study, which is 400-foot corridor, and they did the pedestrian survey on this 400-foot corridor. And within the corridor, they found one site which is not they suggested it's just not eligible to include in the national, National Register for Historic Places. So the pipeline, is not crossing any cultural resources site as of now.
Okay, so. And Metcalf then recommended that the project proceed under a no historic properties affected as surveyed, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and if you could turn to Exhibit 5 in the small exhibit packet, please.
Yes.
And do you recognize Exhibit 5?
Yes.
And could you tell me what that is?
That is a State Historical Society of North Dakota letter of concurrence that the no historic property affected by this project.
Okay. Now, I want to discuss some of the other surveys that were done for this project. Could you discuss the wetland and water bodies findings in the application?
Yes. So similar approach were taken. So APEX conducted the desktop analysis for this pipeline for 1 mile corridor, and then they also went out in the field and did the field survey on this 400 foot corridor, and they found two linear features and one freshwater emergent wetland, so total three features. But however, they if you see the map on Exhibit 3, the TAK-001, they consider that as a not jurisdictional wetland because it has no connection, I guess hydrologic connection between the other wetland. And other water bodies, TAK-003, I believe Tesoro is already boring that, so we're not impacting those.
And those findings are set forth in Appendix B, which is the potential waters of the U.S. assessment, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And as far as vegetation surveys were done, could you discuss what were the results of that survey?
Yes, so basically this pipeline is on agricultural land, so there were no current or past indication of any tree, sapling, or shrub present within the corridor, 400 feet corridor boundary. So basically the vegetation primarily consists of non-native herbaceous vegetation, and no trees were found, so there was no tree issues there.
Okay, and were there any threatened or endangered wildlife species that were found during the study?
No federally threatened indigenous species found on the corridor.
Okay, and there was at least one noxious weed species that was identified.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Tesoro will implement appropriate procedures to mitigate any impacts with
Absolutely.
Noxious weeds.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want to specifically talk about some of the PSE siting rules, such as exclusion areas, avoidance mm-hmm. areas, things like that, that are found in the administrative code. Are you familiar with those?
Yes.
Okay. And are there any exclusion areas located within the corridor? And if so, are they crossed by the route?
There were no exclusion area located within the corridor. There were one cultural site, which were Metcalf already recommended that it's not eligible to include in the National Historic National Register of Historic Places.
Okay, so no exclusion areas will be impacted.
Correct.
And I know that Judge Ward had a question about the residences within 500 feet, which is an avoidance area,
correct.
Which is the only avoidance area here, correct?
Yes.
Now, were there any residences that are occupied located within 500 feet of the project?
APEX have done the study, and they didn't locate any residential or industrial structure within 500 feet.
Okay, so there's no avoidance areas?
No.
Okay. And in your opinion, will there be any significant adverse effects resulting from the location of the project on the selection criteria set forth in the commission's rules?
No, there will be no adverse effect. The only impacts are generally expected to be temporary impacts.
Okay, so temporary impacts because of construction.
Correct.
Okay. And were the policy criteria set forth in the commission's citing rules considered and utilized to the extent possible by Tesoro when designing the project?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we talked about some potential impacts and mitigation measures for the project. Could you discuss what mitigation measures would be implemented for trees and shrubs?
Yes. Actually, Tesoro already certified the trees and shrub mitigation specification, which is, I believe, in the exhibit.
So exhibit four.
Four, yes.
Okay. But again, there were no trees or shrubs that were originally identified.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. And we briefly discussed impacts to wetlands and water bodies, but could you discuss mitigation measures for those?
Tesoro plan to bore the water body that are present right currently. So I believe there will be no wetland or water body impact due to this project.
Okay. And to avoid impacts to cultural resources, will Tesoro comply with all SHPO requirements?
Correct.
And again, back to the noxious weeds, Tesoro will implement some procedures there. Could you discuss those?
Yes. So Tesoro would require the contractor to clean, thoroughly clean the equipment and vehicle they used to access the right-of-way, so the noxious weed won't be spread.
Okay. All right. I want to talk a little bit about some of the public coordination efforts that were undertaken mm-hmm. for the project. Could you just give us generally what occurred to coordinate with different agencies?
Yes. Tesoro notified and consulted with various agencies that required by the commission, and I believe the list is in the corridor compatibility report, I believe it's table 3, which lists the total list of agencies that were contacted.
So all of those agencies were contacted, and Appendix D includes those agency letters that were sent and any responses?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And are you aware of any other agency comments that were received that have not already been discussed?
Yes. In response of notice of filing of 10-year plan, North Dakota Department of Transportation submitted a response letter to Tesoro.
Okay. And I'll have you turn to Exhibit 6, please. And is Exhibit 6 the Department of Transportation letter you just referenced?
Correct.
And did the DOT note that they don't have any concerns regarding the project?
Yes, they did mention that they have no adverse effect due to this project.
Okay. And are you aware of any objections to the project by any state or federal agencies at this point?
No, I have no knowledge of any problems or issues with
the stadium. And if any comments were received, Tesoro addressed any issues that they could?
Yes.
And we've talked about some permits generally, but are there any additional environmental permits or consultations that could potentially be required for the project?
So, to comply with North Dakota Department of Health's NDPDES, it's called North Dakota Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. So Tesoro has already prepared the Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan for this project and already submitted the NOI to Department of Health as of now. And the other is Hydrostatic Test Water Discharge Permit. Tesoro will submit the Tesoro intend to use general permit, and Tesoro will submit the NOI at appropriate time when discharge is necessary.
So if they choose to discharge any waters that require the permit, they'll get it prior to doing so?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Div, based on your study and review and all of the exhibits and testimony presented today, is it your opinion that the proposed facilities are of such length, design, location, or purpose that they will produce minimal adverse effects?
Yes.
And will the location and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota?
Yes.
And is it your opinion that the proposed facilities are compatible with the environmental preservation and efficient use of resources?
Yes.
And will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion?
Yes.
I have no further questions for this witness, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Krause. Mr. Hsu.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, some of this information is going to be a bit redundant, but there were a number of corridors that were listed within the application. So I'd just like, could you briefly walk us through the surveys that were done and the width of which they were done?
So on the map, the blue line is 1 mile corridor,
right,
which is we did the desktop analysis on those, that corridor. And the brown corridor is actual the survey corridor, which is 400 feet.
Sorry, and the desktop analysis was, well, what type of desktop analysis was done?
Environmental and cultural both. Okay.
And the 400 feet then?
Yeah, both the environmental and cultural field survey.
Okay, that's a field survey. Okay. Now, there's also a 300-foot corridor listed in there, too, saying there's no exclusion or avoidance. Avoidance areas within 300 feet. It was listed in the application. Was that just a misprint, or was that supposed to be 400 feet?
It's supposed to be 400 feet.
Okay, so there's no survey done with 300 feet?
No, okay. It's like 400 feet.
Okay. So there's a number of species that were listed as a very low likelihood of encountering within the route and corridor. If they are encountered, is there some sort of plan in place of how the company will respond to that?
So we'll, to my knowledge, Tesoro will follow the U.S. Fish and Wildlife guidelines on that, and we'll do all the appropriate steps, what they require, and we notify the U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
How about North Dakota Game and Fish?
Both.
Both of them?
Yes. Okay.
Now, North Dakota Game and Fish, they did state that they had some concerns about drainage patterns and concerns to protect wetlands. I was wondering if you could just walk us through the steps that the company will be taking to ensure that drainage patterns will not be affected?
Well, majority of these wetlands, I mean, there's, so Tesoro will bore this wetland, so there will be no direct impact to the wetlands and water bodies. So, I believe there won't be any impact to the list of, I mean, species and
to the drainage patterns?
Well, yeah, that too, okay. Because it's all bore and there are no construction through the and if it is any impact, Tesoro will make sure that the post construction condition will match the pre-construction condition.
You stated that you'll be boring the wetlands and the water bodies, and there are two waterways, I think, that were listed before, and I think there might be a little bit of confusion with what Ms. Prescott asked before.
Right.
Are they all intending to be bored?
Yes.
All of them?
Yes. Yes. They're all intended to be bored, but the other, the TAK-002,
right.
It's a little drainage ditch, and I believe that's... it's not considered. So the biologist did not consider as a jurisdictional feature, and I'm too sort of plan to bore that too. So
okay, so that when we start with TAK-001, well, is Tesoro planning to bore that one?
Yes.
Okay. And TAK-002, Tesoro will be boring that one?
So TAK-002 and TAK-003.
Okay. And those plans will not be changing?
No.
Okay.
To my best knowledge.
To your best knowledge.
Yes.
All right. What efforts will be done to ensure that areas will be revegetated with native species to the project area after it's been impacted.
I believe, to my best knowledge, Tesoro will implement the...
That may be a more appropriate question for our first witness, that we could recall him to address some of the revegetation.
All right, it might be useful to recall him.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's all the questions I have now, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor.
Okay. I just have really one area questioning. I'm not sure if you can help me with this or not, but if you look behind Appendix B3 tab, there's a color map. It says apex down at the bottom on the right.
Right.
Under legend, it says antelope lateral.
Yes.
Looking at that map, there's two structures that are fairly close to the red line. One on the left side. I'll wait till you get there. Okay. There's a structure on the left side that looks like the line goes right beside it or behind it to the north. Can you tell me, do you know what that structure is?
I mean, I don't know because they have done the analysis, but it's very well possible that that imaginary, probably old or not valid at this point. So okay.
But you don't know for sure. Have you been out there yourself?
No, I haven't been.
Okay. What about the structure on the opposite end? It looks like it could possibly be a well site or a pad or something, or a farmstead. Any idea?
I have no idea.
Okay. Maybe we could ask Mr. Smith.
Your Honor, could I just direct your attention to a different appendix?
Sure.
That same map is also included in Appendix B1, which is actually an inventory of the exclusion and avoidance areas.
Okay, good.
So there's a separate report that discusses each of those areas, and within that there is that same map, but also a more detailed discussion of the avoidance areas and specifically whether there are any avoidance areas within 500 feet.
Can you point me to that discussion?
Yes. So if you turn to table 1 on page 7 of that report, it gives the summary of all the exclusion and avoidance areas. And then on page 8, based on the survey that was done, it notes that the proposed project alignment would not be located within 500 feet of a resident school or place of business.
Okay, because last night when I was reviewing this, for some reason, I thought somewhere in the documentation in the application, I did see that there were three structures within the 500-foot area. And when I look at this map, I mean, I can't tell if those are occupied structures, but I see at least two and possibly a third one on the south side of the road. I'm not sure the distance. And that's I guess, why I'm asking these questions.
Sure. And if that is something that I'm not sure if DIV can get some clarification on quickly here, we can try to see if we can get in contact with who actually prepared this report, or we could submit something after the fact if there's some additional clarification we can provide.
That might be helpful.
Okay.
Okay, anybody else have any more questions for Mr. Cerati?
Yes, John, just briefly.
Mr. Hsu.
On page 7 of Appendix B, 7 and 8, that's where you guys address exclusion and avoidance areas.
Right.
And that's within the 400 feet, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so we should not be looking at the the corridor application.
Page
15 and 16, that was for the 1 mile, is that correct?
That's for 1 mile, yeah. For corridor compatibility, it's for 1 mile, but the route permit has 400 feet discussion.
Okay. So. And the 400 feet is what you were requesting for the corridor.
Correct.
Okay. I have no other questions, Your Honor.
Okay. Ms. Prescott? Ms. Krause?
Nothing at this time, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Sharati, you may step down. Thank you. Thank you. I think we're going to call Mr. Smith back.
Could I have just a brief moment?
Yes, let's take a break. It's 12:45. Let's take about a 10-minute break.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Company, you might want to clear them up.